Psalm 51, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David not only wanted mercy and forgiveness, he wanted God to cleanse his soul from the grime and the gruesomeness and the guilt of all of his sins. Sinful living will either harden your heart or break it, as in David's case. Those who become hardened by it get a seared conscience and tend to become selfish. They've fallen down in sin and stay down because of their indifference towards God and other people, because they really don't care who they hurt. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. As I said, sinful living is either going to harden your heart or it's going to break it, as in David's case. Where are you today? Have you fallen into a sinful lifestyle and you've hardened your heart? Or is your heart broken? Many people try to clean up their own lives, but to no avail. The Spirit of God is the only one that can ease the burden of our past failures and our sinfulness. He is the one that cleanses our conscience of the residue of rebellion, of resistance towards the Lord, of self-righteousness, and of our wickedness. When God cleans us up, he totally cleanses us. Paul gives testimony to the Lord's power in enabling us to go forward for him in spite of our failures of the past. Are you living in the past over sins committed in the past? Philippians 3:13-14 tells us, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, are you living in the past, feeling regret and remorse over past sins that God has forgiven you about? Do you over and over and over and over keep confessing sins that you've confessed to the Lord years ago, but you simply don't believe that he has forgiven you? But yet Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. John 15:3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In our text in Psalms, David says, wash me thoroughly. In the Hebrew, this phrase has an interesting reading. It says, multiply to wash me. The word rendered thoroughly is from the Hebrew word robah. It is a verb, either in the infinitive or the imperative mood, and suggests the idea of multiplying or increasing. The reference is to that which might need constant and repeated washing in order to remove a stain. This verb indicates intensity or thoroughness. Wash me thoroughly. The washing must be thorough. It must be repeated. Therefore, David basically cries, multiply to wash me. Repentance isn't, I repented and that's it. Repentance, brothers and sisters, is a daily thing. The washing must be thorough. It must be multiplied. The die is in itself immovable, and I, the sinner, have long laid in it till the crimson stain is ingrained. But Lord, wash and wash and wash again till the last stain is gone, and not a trace of my defilement is left. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What blessed words to hear from the Master. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken to you. When a person is truly broken over their sinfulness, they will desire complete and total cleansing because of the repulsiveness of what he has done. That's why, have you hardened your heart in your sin, or are you brokenhearted over your sin? Where are you at? The repulsiveness of our sin. Thank God that he has the power to accomplish this task that is impossible for us. God can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jeremiah spoke of the impossibility of cleansing ourselves, and Isaiah confirmed the possibility of being clean because of God's ability to cleanse us, brothers and sisters. Jeremiah 2:22. For thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. Isaiah 1:18 tells us, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. When our sin becomes repulsive and disgusting to us, we're on the path to getting back up after we've fallen down. Have you reached that point yet? Or are you still hardened in your sin? Are you hardened or are you brokenhearted? Have you fallen down and messed up spiritually? If so, seek the Lord's forgiveness and cleansing. You can cry out as David did. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. On August 16th, 1987, Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed just after taking off from the Detroit airport, killing 155 people. One survived, a four-year-old from Tempe, Arizona, named Celicia. News accounts say when rescuers found Celicia, they did not believe that she had been on the plane. Investigators first assumed Celicia had been a passenger in one of the cars on the highway onto which the airline had crashed. But when the passenger register for the flight was checked, there was Celicia's name. Celicia survived because even as the plane was falling, Celicia's mother, Paula, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms and body around Celicia, and then would not let her go. Nothing could separate that child from her parents' love. Neither tragedy nor disaster, neither the fall nor the flames that followed, neither height nor depth, neither life nor death. Such is the love of our Savior for us, brothers and sisters. He left heaven, lowered himself to us, and covered us with the sacrifice of his own body and blood to save and cleanse us of our sins. If you've fallen down and desire to get back up, you not only need to appeal to God's compassion, to ask for his cleansing, but you also need to acknowledge your guilt. That's what verses 3 through 5 is about in our text. For I acknowledged my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In David's confession, he takes full responsibility for what he has done. He doesn't try to sweep it under the rug. He doesn't make excuses, because such behavior does not solve any problem for the sinner. The commencement of turning your life around and getting back on your spiritual feet is acknowledging the wrong you have done. No matter the wickedness, brothers and sisters, that you have found yourself in or find yourself still in, David was saying, I'm guilty, I have sinned. And that is what each and every one of us must do when we sin. I am guilty, I have sinned. Not the serpent made me do it, the woman that you gave me, the husband that you gave me, the kids did it, the environment did it, my job did it, my neighbor did it, the cat did it, the dog did it. You are to acknowledge your sin. I'm guilty, I have sinned. And when you acknowledge your sin, you can say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, think about that, meditate about that. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgave the iniquity of my sin. The king, David, is clear in his conscience with the Lord. I have sinned against you. If you've fallen and you want to get back up, you need to clear your conscience with God and with men. Seek the forgiveness of the Lord and those you have wronged. If you need to make restitution for damages, then do so. This principle was stressed repeatedly by Paul. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concern and faith, have made shipwreck. A good conscience, brothers and sisters, you cannot put a price on that. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. King David not only recognizes his sin, he's haunted by it. It was ever before him. The Hebrew word for ever before me comes from the word tamid, which means to stretch out. David's disobedience was stretched out in full sight of the Lord, in his own mind and in his own memory. He's grieved over what he has done and is probably thinking, how could I have been so stupid? What was I thinking? He's grieved also by the fact that he has hurt others, especially his relationship with the Lord, who is his shepherd. God was right and he was wrong. His sin deserved all that God in his law had declared it to deserve. God would be justified when he spoke. His judgment upon him would be fair and just, indicating David's repentance and submissiveness to God's hand of discipline. The source of David's sinfulness, realize this, brothers and sisters, goes back to his birth. He was born a sinner. That's why we sin, because we born sinners. He says, I was shapen in iniquity. This word shapen is from the Hebrew word kul, which means to twist, such as a person twisting strands of rope together to form a stronger rope. The very fiber of David's being as well as ours, his sin. It's interesting to note that our DNA is twisted strands of information about us. But there's one thing that runs through all of us, brothers and sisters. We have been shaped in iniquity. We are all born sinners in sin. Then my mother conceived me. Not that she was fornicating outside of marriage or something to that effect. We're born sinners. The silence continues and says, in sin did my mother conceive me. The word conceive me comes from the Hebrew word yocham, which means to be warm. He's alluding to his development in the warmth of his mother's womb. From the very beginning of his life in the womb of his mother, David had a sin nature, and we all do. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Question is, did you sin more than I did, or did that one sin more than the other one? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And one sin brings death. What did the Lord tell Adam and Eve? The day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. One command given, and death came into the world. One command, didn't keep it, death came into the world. The wages of sin is death. Not sins, sin. As I said, David, born in sin. We're all born in sin, we're all sinners. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. Death passed on to all men. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It's interesting to note that the color of sin is actually scarlet. Not black. People say all the time, black is sin. Black is sin. This word scarlet is an interesting word. It's the word for the double dyed sinner. It comes from the Hebrew word shani, which is close to the word shana, which means to repeat or to do again. The word for scarlet has the idea of being double dyed or twice dipped. In ancient times, clothing was dyed with scarlet, was many times dyed twice to ensure a proper deep red color. We are all twice dipped, brothers and sisters, twice dipped sinners, first in the vile pool of original sin, being born with a sin nature, then in the bath of actual transgressions, born in sin, and then we live a life of sin. In other words, we are sinners twice over, by birth and by the sinful choices that we make. But hallelujah, the good news is that Christ came to die, to save his people from their sins. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We need forgiveness, each and every one of us, for what we've done. Cleansing and forgiveness are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you never trusted Christ as your Savior, then you must realize that the beginning step, the first step that you must take to get up on your spiritual feet, begins with trusting in Jesus Christ and not yourself. The story's been told. In June of 2006, Warren Buffett, the world's second richest man at the time, announced that he would donate 85% of his $44 billion to 5 charitable foundations. Commenting on this extreme level of generosity, Warren Buffett said, "There's more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way." But Mr. Buffett was wrong. There's no other way to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. For Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, a singular sin, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He don't need Warren Buffett's gifts to try to earn heaven. There's none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah said that your works are as filthy rags. So never mind what your sin looks like if your works are as filthy rags. Have you fallen down? Do you want to get back up spiritually? Confessing and cleansing from the Lord needs to be sought. And secondly, there needs to be a recognition of the Lord's character and his capability to forgive you of that sin. The wages of sin is death. You must acknowledge that. But the gift of God is eternal life. Notice, through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you've never come to that fount from where you can be cleansed, the scripture says to come, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He said, whosoever will, come. Whosoever will, come. The account has been written down in scripture of a thief dying on a cross one day over 2,000 years ago next to this Jesus Christ. And one sinner that was on the cross kept cursing Jesus Christ. The other thief on the cross repented of his sins and asked Jesus Christ to save him. He asked Jesus Christ to remember him when Christ came into his kingdom. And Jesus Christ told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. My friend, that is the good news. No matter where you would find yourself, no matter how much wickedness you have participated in your lifetime, the man that wrote that psalm, Psalm 51, he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a fornicator. And he was a host of other sins. And you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. And we all need a Savior. And where does this message find you today? Are you in need of a Savior? Then come to Jesus Christ and he will save you. That's what Savior means. He saves. And my friend, I should say not my friend, but my brother or my sister. If you have sinned, and you have sinned greatly, you can be washed and you can be cleansed even as the psalmist was. He confessed his sin. He confessed his sin and repented of his sin. And he cried out to the Lord. Cried out to the Lord that he needed cleansing. He cried out to the Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. But if you will simply come to him, acknowledge your sins, repent, turn around, go the other way, the Lord will cleanse you and wash you from all iniquity. And that conscience of yours that has been riding you for months, if not for years, over a sin that you refuse to leave, if you will simply confess that sin and turn around and go the other way, you will know of that cleansing. You will be able to lay your head down without a guilty conscience gnawing away at you. Know that the gospel is needed to come into the kingdom, and the gospel is needed every day that we're in the kingdom. For Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness.